Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for your word, the sword of the Spirit. As we look at it together and as we learn more about the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, we pray for his work in our hearts, that we might know you and love you more, equipped to live for and trust in our Lord Jesus. We pray it in his name. Amen. The story is told about Her Majesty the Queen, one day they run out of cake at Sandringham, and so she popped down to a local shop dressed in her coat and a headscarf. And as she walked through the door of the shop, someone in the shop looked up and said, "You look just like the Queen." To which she replied, "How very reassuring." Well, what does the Holy Spirit look like? And would we recognise him if we bumped into him? Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? What's he got to do with you? He's often the victim of mistaken identity. Once upon a time, years ago, when I was working with British Airways, I was waiting for Claire at the Heathrow bus stop. It wasn't quite as long ago as the photo makes it look. So there I was at the Heathrow bus stop, Terminal 1, all dressed up in my uniform, and Claire was coming on a bus. We were going to fly away somewhere that I was working that weekend, but I had a spare seat on the aeroplane for her. And as I was standing there waiting, a lady came up to me and said, "Could you tell me where the bus for Hounslow goes from?" She thought I was a bus conductor. It was a mistake, a case of mistaken identity. She was asking the wrong person. As it happened, being the well-trained representative of British Airways that I was, I found out where the bus was going from and I took her to the right stop. But that ruins the illustration. The point is, she'd gone to the wrong person because she'd mistaken my identity. And do we do the same with the Holy Spirit? Do we mistake his identity and go to him for the wrong things? There's lots of misunderstanding about God the Holy Spirit. People call him it, as if he was just a force or an essence or like a liquid that you could pour in and out of things. People say when they visit a local church, maybe like ours, they say, "Oh, this church doesn't have the Spirit." And what they mean is they have a different songbook from the one they have at their church. People might say to you, maybe you've been a Christian for many years, you're trusting in Jesus, living for him, and they might bump into you and say, you still need to receive the Spirit. As if that was something different from becoming a Christian. Some people think that the Spirit will make you always happy, endlessly singing choruses again and again, and clapping. Is that what the Holy Spirit does? There's lots of misunderstanding around. And so we're going to have a series looking at the business of the Holy Spirit. And you can categorise the things that the Holy Spirit does quite neatly into business terms, like marketing and assistance, training, team building, and that sort of thing. So we're going to be doing that over the next few weeks, including a couple of all-age services as well. Today, we're starting at the beginning, some basics about who he is and what he does. We're going right to the heart. And today we're going to see that the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. That's our big theme for today. He points us to Jesus. He is God. He lives with Christians. And his aim is to glorify Jesus. Those are the things we're going to find out. And everything we see in this series is going to be revelation. That is, it's all going to be things that we would never know if God didn't tell us. I'm not claiming that I have got some special revelation. I'm saying that we're going to go to the Bible to see things that would remain a mystery to us if God hadn't made them known. Apparently every week the Queen meets with the Prime Minister. I suppose every week they're not away somewhere in a different part of the world. And when they meet, the Prime Minister tells the Queen what's going on, and the Queen is able to ask the Prime Minister various questions. Now what does she ask them? What does she ask Churchill? Or Aidan? What does she ask Callaghan? Macmillan? Eden, rather. Anthony Eden. What does she ask Thatcher and Blair? Wouldn't it be great to know? We'll never know. We'll never know unless the Queen decides to tell us, or a living Prime Minister tells us what she's asked him. It's a mystery unless they tell us. And many of the things that we know about God the Holy Spirit would be the same. We couldn't go up onto a mountainside and think and discover these things. They would be hidden from us. accept that God has decided through his word, the Bible. And so we need the Bible, we need God's help and wisdom and understanding as we read the Bible. Some things will say to us directly, the Holy Spirit is this, that or the other. Other bits of the Bible will have to be detected and sort of work out what it means about the Holy Spirit from what is said. But what would be a mystery is revealed. Wonderful. So here's the first thing we're going to see today. First thing to do with the Holy Spirit. Worship him as God. Worship him as God. He is God. He's one person of the Holy Trinity. God has made himself known to us. He's revealed himself to us through the Bible as Trinity. One God, three persons. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're all God. They're all united. And in many ways, this idea of the Trinity is beyond our comprehension. God has sort of shown us in various places in the Bible how it works, but we piece it together, and even then, it's too hard for us to grasp completely. But one of the things we know about God, the one God in three persons, is that each person of the Trinity, in some way, does different things, even as they do those things together. So, for example, how do Christians serve in Jesus' name? Well, 1 Corinthians 12, the passage we heard read earlier, verses 4 to 6, we read this, and it's on the sheets there. There are different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, distributes them. There are different kinds of service that you use those gifts for, but the same Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you're serving as you use those gifts given by God the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of working as you do the work that is the service that the gift is for. But in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God, God the Father, at work. So you can see God the Trinity at work as believers serve in Jesus' name. The Spirit giving gifts, the Son being served, the Father at work. You could look at salvation as another example. How is it that we're rescued to be friends with God instead of being his enemies because of the way in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, we put us first and God right back in the background? How does that work? Well, it's the Father's will to save people, to bring them out of darkness into light, to rescue them from death to life. So Jesus says in John 3:16, God so loved the world, he sent his only Son. You could say the Father loved the world and sent. So it's God's will to save. It's the Son's work that saves. Jesus died on the cross. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 19, God was pleased through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things. Through Jesus' physical body, his death on the cross, his blood shed for us. So it's the Son's work that saves. It's the Spirit who brings people to faith. Jesus says in John 3, the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You must be born again. So God is saving us. But God the Father, the Son and the Spirit do different things. But in one way you could also say they're joining in with the same thing. So do you trust in Jesus? Then that's the Trinity at work in your life. Do you not yet trust in Jesus? Are you just thinking about him? Well, be amazed. Be amazed at the great love of the Father for you. Rejoice in what Jesus the Son has done in dying on the cross and rising again, bearing your sin, taking away from you completely, rising to give you new life. And pray that God the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and mind to give you faith to trust and turn to Jesus. Worship him as God, one of the Holy Trinity. Incidentally, we refer to God the Holy Spirit as him and he, because this is what Jesus did. He's personal, as Jesus and the Father are personal. He's not an it, he's a he. Worship him as God. And then, wonder at his presence. Over the side of the sheet, other side. Wonder at his presence. When we turn to Jesus and we receive his rescue because he's died for us, he's alive. God the Holy Spirit comes to live with us. It's part of God's promise of salvation. We'll hear more about that next week, and we'll look at a particular passage. But here's the words of Jesus from John 14. On the sheet again there. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. This was the Last Supper, that before Jesus was going to die, and he knew that he would die, rise again, and then after 40 days he would leave his disciples and he would be gone. But he wasn't going to leave them alone, nor us. And he has sent God the Holy Spirit, another advocate, to help us, to be with us forever. We wonder at his presence. Paul the Apostle writes in that 1 Corinthians 12 passage we had read earlier, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we make that confession that we believe that Jesus is Lord, that's got the Holy Spirit at work, and otherwise we wouldn't be able to do that. So when we turn to Jesus, he's even at work in us even before we make that decision, that faith, before we express that faith. And then from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, Paul writes, when you believed, you were marked in him, in Jesus, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. He goes on, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So the moment you become a Christian, you're born again by the Spirit. The Spirit comes to live with you. Wonder at his presence. I don't know if you watch Bear Grylls' The Island, or The Island with Bear Grylls. What it is a telly program where several men and women are left abandoned on a small island out in the middle of the Pacific or somewhere. And they've had a little bit of survival training from Bear Grylls, who used to be in special forces in the army, who's the chief scout. He's Mr. Toughness himself. He even went, did you see him with President Obama in the wilderness? He's a great survival expert. But he's not there. He leaves them on this island to fend for themselves. And I don't know if you've watched it. It's a nightmare. Sit on the edge of your seat wondering how many will die this episode. None, fortunately. But it's a nightmare. Imagine if instead of leaving them, imagine if Bear Grylls was with them on the island. What a different story it would be. It would be a doddle, wouldn't it? They'd be eating roast crocodile and chips every night in the most amazing shelters already and sorted out the first evening they were there. And the point is that Jesus hasn't left us. We don't have to fend for ourselves. God is with us. God the Holy Spirit, if we're trusting in Jesus. Think of Christmas. We talk about Emmanuel, Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, and the wonder of how he came to be God with us. Well, now the Holy Spirit is Emmanuel, as it were. He is God with us in our lives as we trust in God, in Jesus. Now, the thing about this is that we can't see or feel him. And this sometimes creates problems for us. We can't see or feel God the Holy Spirit. Jesus says he's like the wind. You can't see it, but you can see what it's doing. And we can't see him, but we can see what he's doing in our lives. So maybe one day you'll come to church, you'll sing some great songs, you'll feel really great. Your heart will be lifted. Now, that's not God the Holy Spirit. That's your emotions maybe reacting to God the Holy Spirit at work in your heart. Maybe reacting to the fact that you sung some great songs and the music has been at work. The next day, Monday morning, there's no songs. You might feel really rubbish. Has God the Holy Spirit gone? Not at all. God the Holy Spirit's there with you as much as he was in church on Sunday. That's the wonder of it, isn't it? Wonder at his presence. Ephesians 1, verse 13. You were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth. When you believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. He's a seal. He's there, always with us. John 14, verse 16. Jesus says, I'll ask the Father. He'll give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is with us. We wonder at that great promise. Think of three people walking along a wall. It's a narrow wall, and they're walking along the wall in a line. You're in the middle, and your faith. Faith, okay? In front of you is facts. Behind you is feelings. Three people walking in a row down the wall. Now, how are you going to stay on that wall and not fall off? Well, if you take a look back to have a look at feelings, what's going to happen, Mr. Faith? You're going to fall off, aren't you? But if you keep your eyes fixed on facts, what's going to happen, Mr. Faith? You'll keep walking solidly. Our feelings come and go with the weather and all sorts of other things. But we need to keep our eyes on facts to keep our faith solid. And the promises of God's word about God the Holy Spirit tell us that he is with us. These are the facts. So we wonder at his presence. We worship him as God, at one of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We wonder at his promise, the promise that, at his presence, the promise that as we trust in Jesus, he's there with us. And we walk with him to Jesus. We walk with him to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's big aim is to glorify Jesus. That is, to point you to Jesus, so that you would say, Jesus is great. And in doing that, he points away from himself. So yes, we worship him as God. But even as we worship him, he says, no, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And as we live with the Holy Spirit in us, he always takes us to Jesus. Now, why did he do that? Well, think of it. Who was it who died for us and rose again? Who do we depend on for our relationship, for our sin to be taken away and forgiven, for the new life? Depend on Jesus and his work for us. And the Holy Spirit, he wants us to trust in that always. So he takes us to Jesus so we would trust in him. Who is it who's Lord? Lord over all things in heaven and earth, every power, dominion, authority that's ever given. It's Jesus, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit wants us to follow Jesus, to obey Jesus, to live for Jesus. So he takes us to Jesus. Have a look at John 16, verse 13 to 14. When he, it's on the sheets there, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he'll make known to you. So God the Holy Spirit leads his disciples into truth. Jesus' disciples into truth. Who's the truth about? It's the truth about Jesus. He speaks truth about Jesus. Where does he get that from? He gets it from Jesus. This is how far we've got the New Testament, as we have. So the Holy Spirit is doing exactly this. He will glorify me, says Jesus, about the Holy Spirit. He will point us to Jesus so that we say, Jesus is great. Because it's from me that he'll receive what he'll make known to you. It's a bit like someone being a good minister of a church. If I was a good church minister, what would you be thinking when you leave church on a Sunday? Would you be thinking, oh, isn't David a great church minister? No. You'd leave church thinking, isn't Jesus wonderful? A good friend of mine who helped persuade me to become a minister in the church instead of a pilot for MAF, he gave me a book. It was a commentary on 2 Timothy for me to read. And inside he inscribed the words from John the Baptist about Jesus. He must become greater. I must become less. And that's the role of a church minister, isn't it? To point us to Jesus. We don't want to go away from church saying, oh, isn't so-and-so wonderful? We want to say, isn't Jesus wonderful? And in doing that, we're just copying what God the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He points us to Jesus. And so we walk with him. There's a phrase Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit. We walk with the Spirit to Jesus. We'll hear more about that in the coming weeks and different things, different ways he helps us. So how do we respond to this? Worship him as God. Wonder at his presence. Walk with him to Jesus. How do we respond? We're trusting in Jesus. What should we do? Well, first of all, be truly Christian. Expect to have him at work in you. Be truly Christian. Expect to have God the Holy Spirit at work in you. We'll be seeing in our series lots of different ways he does this. We'll be seeing God's word for us to read and understand. How he helps us to live for Jesus from day to day. On a Thursday afternoon, whatever you'll be doing, where will you be? In an office? Going shopping maybe? On a tube? Living for Jesus there. He helps us, he transforms us, the way we live, the way we think about things. What we think is right and wrong. He takes us to what Jesus says. And we'll see how he helps us to share the good news of Jesus with others. Be truly Christian. Expect him to expect to have him at work in you. And secondly, be truly spiritual. Be truly spiritual. Seek to see Jesus glorified. To be truly spiritual is not to have a kaftan and light some joss sticks and candles and things and chants. Nor is it even always to have a skin-tingling atmospheric feeling as you sing a song and clap. How are we truly spiritual? How do we see Jesus glorified in our lives? By knowing the truth about Jesus from his word. And by spending time with him in his word to find that truth. And God the Holy Spirit wants to help us to do that. By serving Jesus in our lives every day. And God the Holy Spirit wants to help us do that. By publicly making known Jesus as Lord and Saviour to our friends around us, people we meet, by our witness, by our words. And God the Holy Spirit wants us to help us to do that. God the Holy Spirit wants to see Jesus glorified. Be truly spiritual. Join with him in that in our lives. Let's pray. Worship him as God. Wonder at his presence. Walk with him to Jesus. Be truly Christian. Expect to have him at work in your life. Be truly spiritual. Seek to see Jesus glorified. Spend a moment in quiet in our hearts, bringing our response to God. Lord, we thank you so much that you have revealed yourself to us in your word. Thank you for the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that he's present in our lives as we trust in Jesus. And thank you for his pointing us to Jesus in so many ways. Help us to understand. Help us to live by his promptings. Glorifying Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.